All right.
Okay. Let's do it. This is crazy. Okay.
Hello and welcome to the Three Things podcast. I'm your host, George Hooker, and this is episode 11. This week we have designer Betty Jean Corcoran, who's going to tell us three things about her first label, About Betty. Hi, Betty.
Hi, George.
So tell us a little bit about yourself.
So I am from Athlone in the Midlands, and I came to Dublin about 11 years ago to study costume design. And after that, I dabbled in theatre and film and styling and a bit of telly. And then I worked as a visual manager for a big department store. And then I quit that job. And now I'm somehow a designer.
So what actually brought you to studying costume in the first place?
So I suppose it came from my parents meeting through amateur theatre back in the day. My dad was a production designer and my mum was a props person. They both did a bit of acting and then they went into those two different departments, I suppose. And we had this dressing up box when we were younger. My sister and I used to dress up all the time. It was our favourite activity. And I do think that that was a strong influence on what we both ended up doing. She's actually in costume and I studied it. So something along the way there was very important.
Yeah. And so then you went into film and theatre for a while.
Yeah. So I worked on lots of different bits and bobs. It was the middle of a recession when I finished college. So I found myself, like anybody, getting bits of experience all over the place. And
yeah, it was kind of a hard time to finish college.
Oh, my God.
What year was that? 2010?
2010. Yeah. So I finished college before most of the people that I was friends with and lived with because it was a short course. And then I just went hell for leather trying to get as much experience as I could.
What was your experience like in theatre and film?
Mostly positive. I learned so much and it was quite diverse. I did a bit of makeup. I got the chance to work on a feature film doing makeup, which was really fun. And then mainly stuck to costume. And then eventually it sort of tapered off into a lot of styling and assisting a lot of stylists and stuff. So
that was where you sort of kind of moved into the fashion world.
Yeah, I kind of left film behind. My heart was broken. Not really. No, it wasn't broken. But I ended up really much more focused on fashion. And that's kind of where I was working in retail as well. So they went hand in hand, helping out on shoots and doing all sorts of stuff like that. So that's kind of where I realized, ooh, I love this.
Mm-hmm. And you were a visual manager then for a while?
Yeah. So I went off to work for a department store and that was really, really fun, really difficult. I learned so much. I kind of went in to that job not knowing anything at all. And luckily, the people that I worked with, the lady who trained me in particular, just took me under her wing and it was amazing. And I learned a lot, really, really a lot of stuff about retail and about so many different things that you could apply to even film and props and things like that. So it all sort of, all my experience kind of, I could take elements of the fashion and of the film and everything just sort of came into one thing, which was fun.
So tell us a little bit about Betty.
So About Betty is a passion project at the moment. It's very new. We only started coming up with it about 6 months ago. And
so it's really a baby.
It's a baby. I'm trying to nurture it and mind it as much as I can. So I suppose it's all based on what I love, and the things that I love are film and music and vintage clothes and nostalgia, lots of different things all mushed into one to create this sort of fun brand that is commercial but really accessible. It's for everyone. So
what's your thing one then?
So my first thing is curiosity.
Why did you choose curiosity?
The reason I chose it was a great friend of mine, Susie, always told me to stay curious. And I think I never really understood what that meant. It's like, stay curious about what? So it was only recently that I was listening to something and the writer, Elizabeth Gilbert, was chatting about a talk that she gave. And the talk was about passion. And she was going on about how, you know, just work hard and work on your passion, etc. And after the talk, she got a message from one of her fans who was at the talk and said, "Hey, I'm a big fan of your work, but I don't know what my passion is, and now I feel awful." And I suppose sometimes I feel, and growing up, and as I was in, you know, the past few years, I've wondered, what is my passion? What am I passionate about? And still discovering that. And the thing about passion is it takes from you, whereas if you stay curious, you'll get something from it. So that kind of resonated with me. So I just want to stay as curious as possible, experience as much as I can, learn from absolutely everything, and then that's my passion, maybe.
Your passion is curiosity.
Yeah.
It sounds kind of like you're a multi-passioned person.
Maybe, yeah. I just want to try everything out and see what happens, because I suppose I got to where I am by just trying a lot of different things out, and instead of focusing on just one thing.
So outside of fashion and designing, like what are your other biggest passions?
Ooh, the things that I love are history, music, food, dancing. I love yoga, and I'd like to dabble in all of those things a lot.
Do you take anything from those things and bring it to your designs?
Yeah, absolutely. Every single film, and that's where it comes back to costume, I take from the costumes, the scenes, the way they're shot, like so many different things. And then music is so emotive, and I want the clothes to make you feel a certain way. I had a thought that when you put on my clothes that you'll just forget about it, that you love it so much when you see it and you put it on and then you forget about it and you just go on with your daily life. Mm-hmm. And then the only way that you'll remember that you're wearing it is if you catch yourself in the mirror or somebody says, "You look great."
Mm-hmm. So it's not like these uncomfortable...
No. The thoughts of pulling and you can... That's my worst nightmare. I don't want to be fixing things, or, you know, that life needs to be lived, and I don't want to be worried about what we're wearing. Mm-hmm. But we want to love it.
So how does curiosity then affect the brand?
I am curious. Oh my gosh, so much. So I'm still feeling my way with the brand, and I'm always going to try new things. Mm. I'm really willing to try new things.
Are there any movies, for example, that particularly inspire you?
Yes, I love pretty much all of Sofia Coppola's movies. And she incorporates music into, as a big, big deal, into her film, into her films. So that's a huge inspiration for me, mm-hmm. all of her films.
Mm-hmm. What about like the costume design in her films? Is there something about it specifically that you like? You know,
yeah, she's such a diverse range of films with so many different periods. Like you have Marie Antoinette and then you have The Virgin Suicide. There's so many different eras. She's dived into so many different things, and maybe that's what, she hasn't chosen one particular style. Mm. There's so many different things that she's done, and then she brings her films and her costume back into the present with music, yeah. and with other kind of aspects like that. So that's what I love about that.
It seems like the freedom to kind of follow About Betty wherever it goes is really important to you.
So important. I don't want to pigeonhole myself because I don't know what's going to happen.
Mm-hmm. Because, is that scary?
No, I actually feel very excited.
Yeah.
Because I don't know what's about to happen.
Excellent.
Anything is possible.
and then what about like curiosity in fashion in general? Do you think that like the fashion industry is still curious, or do you think it's kind of stagnating? Or
I think that because we're so flooded with Instagram, and we're just so flooded by social media, we can kind of get caught up in sort of trends, and people might be forgetting about style. Mm. Years ago, you'd be waiting a month for your magazine to come in to see one ad by your favorite brand. Now I can just go on my phone, go onto their Instagram and see all of their things. Mm. So the curiosity is like pulled back there, Whereas the excitement and the wonder is, I don't know if the magic is kind of gone.
Mm-hmm. So it's like a little less unknown.
Yeah. And then you're seeing how other people dress. So you can just dress like that person, whereas you don't have to work with what you have. Or, you know, maybe I suppose back in the day, there was one shop in town, or there was charity shops or whatever, and you just had to make do with what you had. And people's wardrobes were much smaller, and we just kind of had to think about things more, whereas we don't have to think about it as much anymore. We just go out and get, mm-hmm. no matter what your budget is, mm-hmm. you can just go and do.
You don't have to think about putting something together. You can kind of just get whatever you want.
Yeah, somebody will do it for you, and you can just, you know, and we all do it. You know, it's just part of the way things are now. But yeah, the fun has kind of stalled a bit for me, because it's
kind of overwhelmed by choice.
Totally overwhelmed by choice.
Yeah.
So we're in danger of all just
following the next trend.
Following the next trend. Yeah. Robots. Don't put that bit in.
Right. So thing two, comparison. Why did you choose comparison as your second thing?
I chose comparison because I do it a lot myself. I compare myself to other people, to life choices, to just, it can be a very good thing, because you can compare yourself and then be positive and move positively on that. But also I can find that I could do it very negatively. So they say that comparison is the thief of joy. And it really is, because you're so busy thinking about what everybody else is doing that you're not focusing on yourself. You're just in this other realm of madness in your brain.
Self-doubt.
And it'll hold you back. And I think that...
Well, how did you overcome that, whatever self-doubt you had before you actually went and took the dive into starting About Betty?
Okay, so I suppose I had two choices. I drop everything and go for it, or I stayed where I was and just sat with it. And I suppose I couldn't sit with it anymore. And I kind of thought to myself, what's the worst that could happen? I'll just, you know, I'm just going to do this. I'm not happy. I need to make a change. The change is scary. Feel the fear and do it anyway. It's a great quote that somebody said to me years ago, and it just stuck with me.
Feel the fear.
Feel the fear and do it anyway. So I did. And I feel like every single day when I make my kind of dorky videos on Instagram and I take silly pictures and put up captions, you just have to go with it. Just run with it. People are either going to like it or hate it. And if they don't like it, that's their problem. So, and I've done a lot of that. And I do a lot of that, feeling the fear and do it anyway, just leg it.
And how soon after you made that decision did you kind of realize it was the right decision?
Okay, so I decided that as a visual manager, it wasn't a goer and I wasn't that happy, though I had gotten so much from it and it was a great time. So I quit my job, as you do.
It's usually a pretty good feeling.
Yeah. And I planned to go to India to study yoga for a month and do a teacher training course. And then just before I left, I was approached by the company who I work for now, and they'd known that I was going to India and our factory is in India. And they said, here's this opportunity. Why not on the way back from India, casually call into the factory and... you know, see what you think. And then in the space of a very short amount of time, I had organized some samples to be made for me to actually try on at the end of my Indian trip. So it all happened very, very quickly. One minute I was jobless. The next minute I was preparing to try on a load of my own clothes with my name on it. So it all happened very, very quickly.
What was it like seeing your own clothes for the first time?
It was so weird. I had just come off this completely zen month where I arrived to try the stuff on and I was kind of floating on air. I nearly didn't even want to talk about it. I was with a friend of mine. I was like, I'm just going to go and see the factory and try on the clothes. It was really strange because I was trying on my clothes. I was going to fabric markets. I couldn't believe 6 weeks previous, I was standing in that store that I worked in being a visual manager. And now this is what's happened. So it was all very surreal. And I even think back now and I just can't kind of believe that that's where I was standing. But it was cool.
What was the factory, or what is the factory like?
So the factory is in Delhi. It's in a city called Noida, which is within Delhi, but it's kind of fashion city. Humongous. Humongous place. The factory itself, we have an amazing relationship with the people that we work with. I was really, really happy when I got there. Bright and airy. Got to chat to some of the people. I wouldn't have agreed to this had I not known what the setup was. The clothes that I produce are ethically made, so it means that the workers are paid 20% more than the average kind of minimum wage in that area. They have a strict over-18s policy. There's lots of literature around the factory about harassment, bullying, sexual harassment, lots of things. It's a really nice place, and I was really, really happy. Really, really, and still am.
And did you talk to the people who work there?
Yeah. Now, I have no Hindi, but they had some English. So it was great to chat to the people that were literally handling my fabric. And it was really wonderful.
So what about comparing About Betty to other brands? Do you do that?
So I try not to, because I think that will, if you spend too much time focusing on other people or other things, then you'll just get consumed by it and it'll be an absolute disaster. And what I find, what has worked for me is just, like we talked about, just running with it. Just like ignore the self-doubt, try it out. I'm in a lucky position where I'm not making 100,000 pieces. I can trial something. If it doesn't work, we can bin it and move on.
What's like the smallest trial that you can do?
The smallest trial of things I can make is, per style, I can make 18 things.
Right.
So I just have to please 18 people. unless people want to buy two of one thing, which...
Then you need to please 9 people.
Yeah. So I can really trial things out. And then that's the beauty of the way that we work within the brand, is I'll trial something and have done, and then the next time around I can do it again, but bigger. Or I can do the same shape again, but in different fabric or different details. So that's really good. Instead of other brands might have to, they mightn't have as good a relationship with their factory as I do. And I'm really lucky. Mm-hmm.
So that trip to India was actually super important for like the way you are doing things.
Yeah. And I honestly don't know if I would feel the same, or actually visiting the factory made such an impact.
I suppose, as well, one of the things about fashion and clothes is that we can so easily forget that there's this whole economy ecosystem with people that we'll never ever meet involved in the making the clothes and everything. So like, you know, like when we go and buy something in pennies, it's you see it's made in Pakistan, you're like, I have no idea where this came from, you know?
How many people handled this before it got to me, mm-hmm. when it comes to growing or making whatever fabric it's made from, then it comes to dyeing, then it comes to cutting the fabric, putting it together, packaging it. How many steps are there on the way to that? So if you think about that, it's a bit mad. It's bonkers. Mm-hmm.
So I suppose you want to keep the people in that chain sort of protected.
Yeah. Sustainability is such a big thing at the moment. I'm very focused on ethically made. Because we're a small business, the people come first. So I know that the people are being treated well and the rest is to follow. It's a nice thing to know that it's small batch. People are being treated well, and I've been there, so I've seen it.
Well, how do you want people to feel when they wear About Betty?
I want people to look at the garment, love it, then put it on, be comfortable in it, and then forget all about it. So you can go about your day without even thinking about what you're wearing until somebody comes up to you and says, wow, I love what you're wearing. Or you look great. And you're not kind of pulling and dragging out of yourself, you know, just uncomfortable or whatever. It just says enough. for them. Does that make sense? So I suppose if somebody puts something on, it's not going to take over the person, but it's going to complement the person. So complement their personality or complement, I mean, of course we wanted to complement their body, but yeah, just complement their personality.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so thing three, we're there. Thing three, identity. So who is Betty?
Originally starting off, Betty was this, and still is, this kind of offbeat chick who's loads of fun. She's at a party with you. She's on the phone to you when you've broken up with your partner, boyfriend. She's kind of everyone. She's low-key, but loads of fun. So that's kind of who Betty is. She's kind of your best pal. That's the best way I can say it. Betty's your best pal. And it just turns out that I'm her, I suppose.
And you're Betty too.
Cut that bit out. So yeah, Betty's your best pal. And I don't know if I answered that okay, but that's kind of what she is. She's just this cool person who's around.
Yeah, and and Betty isn't your so, and Betty's a stage name.
Betty's a stage name. Drum roll.
It's all being revealed on this podcast.
It's all being revealed. Betty's a nickname.
A nickname.
How bizarre. Yeah. I'm Jean.
You're Jean. Or Gino.
Gino. Betty came from, I'm Jean Elizabeth, and my aunt was also Jean, so I got christened Betty just to avoid confusion as a kid.
Right.
And here we are.
You were christened Betty?
No. Not actually christened, but because of
christened later in life.
Yeah, yeah. Christened later in life. Yeah. Or by my family as Betty. Nice. So, yeah. Like Madonna.
How do you create your designs? Like, what's the actual process?
So, I'm lucky that I have knowledge of how clothes are made because of costume design. We made period costumes, and then after that, I would have worked in various projects making things, so I can understand how things are made, different details, and then pretty much most of my designs or ideas come from vintage stuff that I've collected from over the years. I'm a massive charity shopper, a massive vintage shopper, a huge hoarder. So I have an awful lot of things.
How big is your wardrobe like?
Currently spread across 4 wardrobes in 2 counties. Yeah. And there's probably there's definitely a bed somewhere with loads of stuff on top of it as well. So yeah, you could say that I'm passionate about that. So
what do you like about vintage clothes?
I love the details on vintage clothes. Clothes aren't made the same, and that's totally fine. We all moved. Clothes move through different stages, obviously. There's so many details that we don't find anymore. There's so many fabrics that you don't see. And that's because things change and move with the times. But the prints as well are fantastic. I have so many vintage clothes that you think would fall apart because they're old, but it's just they're made well. Mm-hmm. The fabrics are good. So just lots of little details that we're missing out on.
Is there any fabrics that you particularly like using?
This is kind of a weird subject because I only, and we can cut this out, I only use synthetic fabrics.
Right.
But the reason is because they're really easy to look after. Mm-hmm. So I don't know if that's a positive thing. A lot of people...
Well, they last longer then.
Yeah. So that's the thing. Okay, so here we go. Mm-hmm. I use a lot of synthetic fabrics, polyesters, because they're really, really, really easy to look after. They last a whole lot longer. You don't have to iron them a lot of the time. Mm-hmm. And yeah, they really do last forever. And a lot of vintage clothes were made from nylons, polyesters, lots of different things, synthetics. So that's the positive thing that I can take from synthetic fabric. A lot of people much prefer to use cotton, and that's fine. But I personally love a synthetic fabric because it will stay with you forever.
Mm-hmm. And that's a big part of slow fashion is that we don't end up throwing out stuff after.
Totally. And you find... I mean, with cotton, every time you wash it, it shrinks a little bit, and depending on how you look after it. Whereas with synthetic fabrics, you can make something last so much longer because with synthetic fabrics, they will just last forever. Mm-hmm. Because they're literally fucking plastic. Don't put that in. I have stuff that, yeah, it's just amazing. It's pretty good. And I don't know if I should talk about a lot of waste that goes into fabric.
Let's talk a little bit about the waste that goes into fabrics.
Yeah.
So like it's probably a lot more than we realize, right?
Yeah, a lot of big companies will print or source a fabric and then they'll make their clothes and then whatever's left over, they'll actually burn. And something that I do with the brand is I use up every single scrap of fabric. And with the other brand that I work on as well, we do the exact same thing. So there's no wastage at all. There's no wastage, which is great because once a company runs something, that's it. It's gone. And you could end up with thousands of meters of fabric being burned all the time.
Why do they burn it? You think you could sell it on or something?
Potentially in the future, that's what people will do. They will recycle fabric. It's just really, really expensive to recycle or to sell on, I suppose, and then recycle polyester. A lot of companies will do their run of fabric and then whatever is left over, they just burn for whatever reason. I mean, we will be moving more towards recycled polyesters and stuff like that in the future. It's just really, really expensive. And at the moment, the market is much smaller, but things are changing. So hopefully they can sell it on and recycle it into other things. But at the minute, that's kind of what's happening.
What about your kind of brand identity, like your Instagram and stuff? Like what goes into that?
My Instagram is very arts and crafts. I'm very homemade. So it's pretty much me dorking around with the camera.
Do you think that like that kind of homemade arts and crafts is like something that people are drawn into for your
I think so. And I think that for years we were plastered with shiny, beautiful images, which there's nothing wrong with, and photo shoots in gorgeous villas in Spain that we much prefer to see a personality.
Mm-hmm.
I think that for years we've been bombarded with beautiful images and all this shiny
slick magazine stuff
that we're kind of going back to basics. And you'll much easily see me maybe and think, oh, there's a normal person, as opposed to, I don't know.
Yeah. It's like connecting directly with your audience, I guess.
Totally. And I'm like, raw. Connecting with your audience. I'm wearing it. I made it. I love it. Do you want to love it too?
Mm-hmm.
So, and
you sort of have to be very vulnerable to approach it that way. You know, it's a lot safer to get in models and to do it that way. But if you're actually out front and center,
yeah,
how does that feel for you?
Well, there was a conversation had about, will I kind of be the face of the brand, or, you know, will it just be we'll get models in or whichever? And at first I was really opposed to it. And I thought, let's get it all slick and jazzy. And then I completely turned it around and decided, no, actually, this is not only loads of fun for me, but it seems to work well with the stuff that I have. So completely changed my mind. And yeah, it seems to be, the reception has been pretty good.
Yeah.
So I'm happy about that. But I do feel vulnerable all the time because I don't know, you know, not everyone's gonna like it, but that's the risk you take.
Have you got much of a reaction from people about your clothes?
Yeah, it's all been really, really positive. Even people that I speak to, we haven't even pulled out all the stops and sent things to publications or anything yet, because as I said, it's a baby. But just from the people that I meet or the people that have seen it or messages that I get on Instagram or wherever, it's been really positive. So I'm just happy to let it grow and just put as much into it as I can.
Have you seen anybody kind of out and about wearing your clothes yet?
Yes, I did see one lady wearing my dress and I nearly had a fit. It was another surreal moment when you're even just wearing my own stuff walking down the street on my way to work. I'm thinking, oh, I'm wearing my own clothes. This is bizarre.
Yeah.
Yeah. So that's been it was really, really amazing to see somebody else that I didn't know wearing my clothes.
Did you go and say anything to her?
No. I should have ran after her, but she might have thought I was mad. Yeah. So.
What about like your business identity, or like how you've structured your business?
So I suppose I'm kind of feeling the waters. Is that even a saying?
Maybe. Feeling the waters.
I'm feeling the waters.
Betty's feeling the waters.
Yeah, it's a whole new thing. Which I really...
Something to do with yoga.
Not entirely sure where it's going, but happy to just feel the waters, feel the way. Yeah. So there is no sort of structure apart from keep doing what I'm doing, keep experimenting, and just play around with it, because it's a playful brand. So I can't be too serious. Mm-hmm. It needs to keep its, that's its identity. It's playful. So I need to, although be a little bit serious, mm-hmm. be playful in my future thoughts.
And do you see yourself maybe starting other labels with different kind of mission statements in the future?
Yeah, I think so. And I mean, one of the things about Betty was I never wanted to be pigeonholed. Mm. So I could have certain types of dresses and skirts and tops this year, and then this time next year it could be a completely different aesthetic. Mm-hmm. So yeah, I definitely see growing and evolving and maybe trying out new different things. So when people ask me what the brand is, it's vague, but in a positive way, because I don't know what's going to happen. Mm-hmm. And that's pretty exciting for me.
It's almost like you're leaving yourself room to grow and trying different. Like, we were talking a lot about how your path has been sort of winding and you've gone through all these different stages.
Yeah.
And maybe without all of those individual stages, this wouldn't have never happened. So,
yeah.
So I suppose embracing that and taking that kind of approach forward.
Yeah, exactly. Because we don't know what's going to happen. And I mean, fashion and especially retail is also up in the air at the moment with online and everything that's going on. I always say that in retail, you have to be changeable and adapting constantly. And I suppose I apply that to the brand. Mm-hmm. Anything could happen, and let's just roll with it, see what happens, because who knows?
Are people buying your clothes online, or are they buying them in a brick and mortar shop?
Bit of both. So I'm currently stocked in Dublin and I do sell online. But yeah, it's quite balanced, mainly through the shop. Mm-hmm. So...
Which is nice, I suppose. Yeah. You get to see people trying it on and then...
Yeah, exactly. And my office is based out of the shop, so I can even talk to the people that buy the clothes. You know, hard seller here.
Do you tell them that you're the designer?
No. And then somebody else always tells them and I get embarrassed because I don't know. So I just let them do their thing, but I get to take away that like happy, positive feeling when someone's really happy, because to see people be happy with... the clothes is amazing. Even if it's not my own clothes, I'm still happy when people are happy with clothes.
Is that what makes it worth it? What does it make it worth it? Like, what really drives you? Is it seeing someone in your clothes? Is it actually just creating something? Or
I think seeing the person happy with it is pretty amazing. And hearing somebody say something without them knowing. So I get that raw emotion, mm-hmm. of... Because that's how I feel when I pick things up. I'm like, wow, how does this make me feel? It makes me feel amazing. Or if I try it on. So seeing that like moment where someone's eye is drawn to something, or, you know, they touch it and they love the fabric. It's just like, mm-hmm. cool.
Yeah, that person might be like wearing it on a date or something. Like
yeah,
that.
I mean, where is it going? Yeah,
there's a lot of About Betty out in the wild now. So.
Out in the wild. Maybe I've, you know... I don't know. Just like that, if someone's been on a date, maybe I've caused love or something. Yeah, yeah. Maybe not me personally. Just cut that out. That's
helped someone conceive, maybe.
Yeah, maybe somebody's conceived a baby wearing my dress.
Yeah, hopefully.
Been on a bedroom floor. Hopefully,
it's only a matter of time.
Yeah, I suppose.
Right. So those were your three things we talked about: curiosity, comparison, and identity. Do you have any advice that you give to someone like yourself, maybe where you were 10 years ago when you left college?
Yes, I would say try everything. Know your worth. If something doesn't feel right, don't go for it. You know, there's a difference between kind of working for something. Like, are you getting out of this, say, internship or this whatever? Are you getting enough out of it? I think that's really, really important. Finding that balance. And try, sorry, I said try everything, didn't I?
No, you haven't said that.
Oh, sorry. So try everything, but with just like that, back to knowing your worth. Yeah. And don't be afraid of what other people think of you, because you need to be more concerned about what you think of yourself.
Yeah. Fuck them.
Fuck them.
Yeah. what's coming up for About Betty?
So the future for About Betty is a little bit unknown. There's going to be loads more trials. There's going to be plenty of errors. Yeah, it's just going to be trying things out and having a bit of fun and seeing what happens and trying to grow and just bring the awareness. How many people can I reach and show? And then if you like it, you know, fantastic. So the future is unknown, but super, I'm very excited about it. Really, really excited about the future.
So can you tell me a little bit more about your dress-up box?
So the dress-up box, it still exists to this day. And I actually wear stuff from it, which is weird because I would have worn it as a child and now I walk around town wearing it. So it's just this mad box full of wigs and handbags and shoes and kind of weird Halloween masks. Just bits and pieces from years of shows and fake cigarettes, lots of different weird
fake
things.
Cigarettes, I'd say they're hard to find now.
They are hard to find
like
now.
Like the sweets.
Not quite the sweets, but the ones you get in the joke shop. We did a lot of fake smoking back in the day. Yeah. Whenever myself and my sister were bored or our parents wanted to give us something to do, that's what we did. We dressed up. And I suppose I carry that kind of imaginative fantasy land with me wherever I go. My imagination tends to run away with itself. And I could probably become a character. And that's where About Betty was born, out of this character who actually turns out to be me. So all from the dressing up box. So
you, in a way, you found yourself in the dressing up box.
Literally inside the, yeah.
Inside the dressing up.
That's where a lot of the...
Underneath the shoes. And
underneath the shoes and wigs. That's where I found myself. Not really myself, but that's where a huge amount of it comes from, is. And then, like I said, every day is a new opportunity to dress. Or sorry, every day is a new opportunity to be somebody else. So I like to think that in the morning, I kind of jokingly ask myself who I want to be today. And that's where it comes from.
Who did you want to be this morning?
I wanted to be a summertime chick in the pouring rain, and I chose that.
You got that.
Because I'm dressed like I'm in Malibu and it's pouring rain.
Yeah.
So.
Nice. Thanks very much, Jean.
Thank you, George.
That was episode 11 of Three Things. If anybody has any suggestions or feedback or want to send me gifts or gifts, you can email me at georgesugarfilms@gmail.com. Thanks for listening. See you next episode.